Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight.
It is always just, there's always that few minutes where we're moving one guest and another one in. And
It's like it's a very delicate dance, just getting some people in, other people out.
But it always works out.
It does.
Especially when we have such amazing dancers.
Like us.
Like us. Yeah. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Look for us on Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. And chat alongside with us.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can also find us on Twitter, at The Music Row Show, and then after the show, on Instagram, at The Music Row Show as well.
There you go. How exciting is this, just to have you back? We are thrilled. We love you. We're so happy. So Hino, tell our listeners who this lovely pal joining us is.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tia Goins.
Really? That's your introduction?
Oh, you wanted more than that. Oh, okay. No, actually, we are very, very thrilled to have this wonderful singer and recording artist that both Scott and I are big, big fans of. Tia Goins is here with us tonight. Tia has been at the forefront of reintroducing traditional classic country sound to today's audiences, or as someone from the Opry put it, country with a capital C. We like that. She's got a brand new project out called Memories to Burn that we've both been enjoying the heck out of. I've personally been driving around in the car with it for the last few weeks and just playing the heck out of it. So we are just thrilled to be able to say, Tia Goins, welcome back to the Music Bro Show.
Yay! Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I love listening to your guys' show. There's nobody that does what you guys do, and so I just think it's really cool.
Well, there's a reason
for
that.
As badly as,
no,
as we do it, yeah.
No, really, though. I mean, just what you guys offer and what you guys kind of bring to the table for people out there that are interested in the music business and learning about the music business. You know,
wow,
you guys are great.
You.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Doggone
it. I'm blushing.
I know. Well, we're glad you're here. And
you can pay me later.
Yeah, no kidding.
In once.
We've been calling each other back and forth the last several weeks going, you know, this is just a great CD. It's not only do you sound amazing, but they're great songs, and it's just lush. It's just a great, great arrangement. And
thank you so
much.
Yeah.
So what was the mindset putting this one together? Was it stay the course, or were you looking to kind of make some changes?
Well, I think with this album, really, we had kind of, you know, we had done the first two records, and we had really kind of honed in on exactly what we wanted to be on this third record and what we wanted to do. And, you know, traditional country music, of course, that's my heart. That's what I want to do. That's the music I make. Nobody's going to change that. Mm-hmm. Thank God I have a wonderful producer who has never asked or wanted to change that. We have such a similarity and so much in common about the music that we love. And so when we started putting this record together, our idea was that this could be a gift to the people out there that are dying to hear traditional country music. That this would be our gift to those fans. Like, here you go. You know, because it's hard to find anymore these days, especially, you know, and people, you're not going to hear it on mainstream radio necessarily.
True.
You have to dig for it. And so those people who are out there digging for it, we wanted to give them something, and hopefully they are enjoying it.
So do you see yourself as a preservationist of sorts, like Marty Stewart might be, or that kind of thing?
I guess you could say that. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. Someone mentioned that in an article recently, and I thought, wow, I guess that is sort of what I'm doing is just, you know, I want to make people aware that this music exists. There's a generation out there that isn't even aware of this kind of country music.
That's true.
And the foundations that country music was built on. And I think that there's a place for that. You know, there's a place for that in rock music and in pop music. You know, you go back to those people that started it all. But I think in country, sometimes we've tended to kind of weave away from that, so far away from it that you can't even, you know, tell that it's the same stuff. So that's been something that's been really important to me, is for a younger generation to hear this kind of music and just to be able to appreciate it.
Well, and you alluded to your producer. We should mention it's the great Terry Choate.
Yes.
Who's been on our show many times. Ooh, and is sitting here right now.
Mm-hmm. Making sure that we,
making sure that we say his name a couple of times.
Yeah. He's already poked me in the back twice. Yeah.
No, Terry's great. And he is, you know, such a lover of that traditional music.
Absolutely. And I think that was what, when he and I met and started making these records together, that was the tie that binded us. You know, it was like, that's the music that we both loved, and we both had that passion of let's get that out there to people. You know, let's make this music, whether it's, you know, what's on mainstream radio or not. Let's make great music, because I mean, in the end, isn't that what we're all trying to do, really? I mean, if you're in it for the fame and the fortune, you know, the odds of that happening are slim to none. If you're in it for the love of the music, I think that's the kind of stuff that'll really stay around and mean something.
Right.
That is true.
Yeah, I agree.
True. I'm just curious, how many, so do you have it planned out how many albums you're going to do before you switch to pop like Taylor Swift did and just make a big thing? And
not yet. I'm still counting down. I'm still just waiting for the right moment. No. Right. as someone told me on Facebook not long ago, you couldn't go pop with a mouthful of fireworks. That's what someone told me on Facebook. And I was like, I like that. That should be the title of my next album.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, I don't think I, that's just, it's not my style. I mean, I listen to pop music. Sure. There's some pop music I really enjoy. But as far as what I do and where my heart is and what just kind of comes out naturally, it's the traditional country stuff all the way.
Nice.
Yeah.
To you going, she couldn't go pop with a mouthful of fireworks.
I had a feeling whoever wrote that, that's exactly
that's
how
right.
they,
that's exactly how they said it. Like, yeah, I'll tell you something about her.
It's true.
Well, how do you think you've evolved in the studio over the past three CDs? What's gotten easier for you? Do you approach the process any differently than you did during The Way I Remember It?
I think so, yeah. I think I have evolved in the studio. I think it's just more of a comfort level being there, and we have been so lucky to have most of the same players on all three of my albums. Mm-hmm. So going in the first time, and I didn't know them as well, you know, for the first record. And then by the second record, of course, I knew them way better. And then the third record, well, we're old buddies. And so it's just like we all get in there and be like, jam. And so, you know, that I think was really something that helped throughout the process, that really made it more fun. I mean, we love these records to sound live and to sound in the moment, and when you hear them, I mean, it really is us all in a big room playing and singing, you know. That's really awesome. What it is, and that I think that's
so
the
not a whole
thing.
Lot of overdubbing.
No, not really. I mean, we just kind of go in and do our thing, and
great.
I think that's what makes it so much fun. That's my favorite part of the whole recording process, is when the band goes in and plays for the first time. After that, you know, Steve and I usually go in and we do an acoustic version. Mm-hmm. Steve Smith, who is here today,
hello,
hey, Steve.
And but we go in and do an acoustic version for the guys, and then give them their charts and just let them go in and do their thing.
Yeah.
And it's that first time they play it, and you're just like, oh, whoa, yeah. You know, that's a real song. You know, like they really did it. You know, it's just that's my favorite part of the whole entire process.
But now does Steve do the acoustic guitar and the beatbox?
Yeah, he's been working
he's
on
like,
his.
He's like, what is this beatbox you speak of?
He's been working on his beatbox. He doesn't know it.
Yeah,
cigar box.
Cigar box. All right. That's what he said. Yeah. Who played? I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember the name. The pedal steel guy.
Oh, that was Mike Johnson.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yes.
He's just the greatest.
He is awesome.
He is. He's the best. I mean, everybody.
You just feel it right there when
right?
he's playing. Yeah.
I know. And Mike and I, like I said, we've just become such good friends over time. And when we go in there, he knows that I'm a sucker for a steel guitar. I mean, that is like my favorite. So I'm just like, just do whatever and do it more and louder. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. Right.
I love it so much. So
now there is a pedal steel story in this CD, if I'm not mistaken.
It's true.
And a double.
There is a
pedal?
Double. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Okay. All
double
right.
Pedal.
So, well, it's there's actually dueling steel guitars on one song on the album, which is "Pick Me Up on Your Way Down."
Yes.
And the reason
Harlan
that we,
Howard tune.
Yes. Yeah. And the reason that we did that, we both brought some songs to the table as far as what we wanted to do on this record, and "Pick Me Up on Your Way Down" was on my list because that was one of my grandmother's favorite songs. She was a singer, and she sang that. Every time she was out anywhere, she sang that song. So that always was kind of our song. We did it together a lot and things like that. Well, Terry's side of the story, why he brought it to the table, well, and he can really probably tell this story better than I can, but I'll do my best. When he was...
He'll correct you if you're
wrong. Yes, yeah, he will. When he was growing up in North Carolina and listening to the Opry, they would do... Charlie Walker would do "Pick Me Up on Your Way Down" on the Opry. And there was this fantastic steel guitar ride. And every day, you know, every Saturday night, he would hear this, and Terry is a steel guitar player, and he would go home and try to emulate the sound.
And he couldn't do it.
He was like, what is going on? I can't, like, the notes aren't on, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And so years and years later, he comes to Nashville and whatnot. Anyway, he ends up meeting, it was Hal Rugg is who you were working with, yes? Okay. So, and Hal Rugg was the one that was playing on the Opry. And so he goes up to him and he's like, you've got to show me how you played that, because it was just, it was incredible. And I couldn't ever figure it out. And he's like, there's no wonder you couldn't figure it out. Weldon Myrick was playing it with me. We were playing together. There were two steel guitars happening on the Opry, and he had no idea. So he'd been trying to do this thing, and it wasn't possible because there were two steel players. So what we did is, in honor of those two steel guitar greats, we had Mike Johnson along with Tommy White come in and reenact that dueling steel guitar thing that they do in the, and it's so cool. Yeah. Especially if you're a big steel guitar fan, that song alone, you've got to hear that song. It's fantastic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I loved the opening track where you mixed Old Fashioned Love with It's a Wonderful World.
Yeah, we're actually going to do that.
Okay.
That was when we were.
Well, how did you come up with the idea to put those two together?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was in the middle of summer. I was out digging in my garden, and my phone rings, and I answer it, and it's Terry Choate, and he goes, "So, tell me if I'm crazy." I was like, "Okay," and he says, "You know that song, Old Fashioned Love, right?" I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "What if we did like a mashup with that and What a Wonderful World, the old Louis Armstrong song?" And I was like, "Okay." And I was kind of thinking in my head, you know, going, "No, no, 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 no." And I was like, "Oh, I can totally see that." Yeah. I was like, "And that would be so cool to kind of do those things." And he's like, "And do them swingy, you know, Texas swing style." Because What a Wonderful World, you know, you've really only heard it one way, pretty much, you know what I mean, for the most part. And so we were like, yeah, we could kind of do, you know, do this thing and let the guys all play and really, you know, showcase a lot of the instruments and everything. And so that was sort of how it was hatched. Steve and I sat down and kind of hammered it out, and we all three figured out, you know, what we were going to do where and how to put it together. And it was a really cool moment. Yeah.
Cool.
It's fun to do that, where I'm not a songwriter, but I love to figure out arrangements, and I love to interpret music. That's really my sweet spot, is that I'm not a writer. So when we find, you know, when we do these songs and we choose what songs we're going to do, it's fun to kind of put my spin on them. That's my way to put my creativity into it. You know what I mean? And so that was one that we really kind of got to do that with.
Go
Terry.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah.
Good idea. Can I tell you something?
Okay.
About Tia?
I'm ready. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to, because I just the fact that you're saying I'm working in my garden, and and you know, here you're playing all over the place, you're touring, you're recording, and you work in your garden. I called her one time. I was talking to Terry. Terry said, "Oh, give her a call, see what she thinks."
So that was before she changed her number.
Right. It was before she changed her number. Mm-hmm. But I called her, and she's like, "Oh, hey, Scott," and we're talking, and she's just talking to me, right?
Right.
And I finally go, "So what are you up to anyway?" She goes, "Oh, I'm running. I'm on mile number 5.
I remember that right now.
And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" I mean, I walked downstairs, and I'm.
I do remember that.
And she had just been talking to me, and I go, "So what are you doing anyway?" "Oh, I'm running. I'm on my 5th mile." It's like,
and you couldn't even tell.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Make me sick.
I'm sorry. It is a sickness. It really is.
So anyways, I mainly told that story because I didn't have time to ask a question. And now it's time for us to take a break and remind our listeners that this segment is brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That is true. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers. I got two of them. Scott's got one. And we just love Toyota of Cool Springs. They're great guys. And they've got an unlimited time and miles warranty on all the cars that they have. 3-day return policy. It's just a great place to go.
Yes.
Plus, I actually bought my car there.
Did you really?
Dum, dum, dum.
Nice. We like that. Sweet. And their service department's great. Both Scott and I have been recently dealing with those guys. And you rarely leave a car repair place going, "Man, that was cool." You know, that just doesn't happen too often.
It
happened both times for Scott and for me recently. So go check out Toyota of Cool Springs online at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. Ask for George, and he's the owner. He'll take great care of you. All right, we're here with Tia Goins, and we'll be back in just a few minutes on The Music Row Show.
Another lesson I'll have to learn.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Tia Goins, and that is Memories to Burn, the title track of her brand new project. And that's what it looks like right there.
And awesome. I bet she has a website.
She does. It would be, I'm guessing it's TiaGoins.com.
Look at you. You know. And it's T-E-E-A.
That's right.
G-O-A-N-S.
You spelled it right. How'd you do
Thank
that?
Thank you. I know, because no one else does. So yeah. I have to.
You have to, yeah. I feel for you. I'm right there with
right?
you.
Right? Yeah. You know what I'm going through.
I do.
I know,
yeah.
You know what's funny is every now and then we'll have a guest and he'll go, what a weird name. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
you're criticizing really? Somebody's name? Mm.
That's like us criticizing cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Right.
What? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody out there listening is like, what in the world are they talking about?
There's a big cheerleader conference here in town and at the hotel. And
yeah. Most people don't. You may not know that WSM is in the Grand Ole Opry Hotel. So
the Opryland
Hotel and Grand Ole Opry Hotel.
Well,
same thing.
Or that.
And there's people that kind of wander by the window here. And so when there's a big convention in town, that's.
Now they're doing stunts outside.
Now, yeah.
Stunts and herkies.
Yeah.
Herkies.
That man's twerking out there. What's he doing?
No, not twerking. No. Herkies. That's different. Okay. We're going on a bad path here.
We've went the wrong way.
We're glad you're here. And you got Steve Smith there. He's got his earphone plugged in and his guitar
very
plugged
professional.
In.
He's so together. Yeah. I'll tell you what, this guy is fabulous. He has been the band leader for Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers for like 38
years.
And he can live to tell about it.
Wow.
I mean, honestly, like that's crazy.
Do you get a yearly medal
Let's
for
get
something
that mic
like
on.
That?
Yeah.
Every decade
you get a new medal. Okay, well, yeah. You feel like playing us a song?
We do. Oh, we would love to play
great.
A song. I feel like we're going to do the one we were just talking about.
Sweet.
The little mashup. Yeah. Got that old-fashioned love in my heart. And there it will always remain. Like an ivy clinging vine, clinging closer all the time. Through the tears, through the years, just the same. Got that old-fashioned fate in my heart. And nothing can tear us apart. Dry land may turn to sea, but there'll be no change in me. Got that old-fashioned love in my heart. I see trees of green, red roses too, and I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. All the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also all the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? Well, they're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh, Stevie Smith. Got that old-fashioned love in my heart. And there it will always remain. Like an ivy clinging vine, clinging closer all the time. Through the years, through the tears, just the same. Got that old-fashioned fate in my heart. And nothing. nothing can tear us apart. Dry land may turn to sea, but there'll be no change in me. Got that old-fashioned love in my heart. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yeah. Woo. Thank you. Woo.
That is awesome. Thanks. I love that.
Thanks.
Love that.
Steve Smith.
Steve.
I know, Steve. Right? That's awesome.
So apparently there's more than four chords on a guitar.
Yeah. Who knew?
I did not know that.
Who knew? Yeah. Well, you and Terry, I read that you guys, when you decided to do this project, you wanted to dig deeper on this project than you'd done in previous ones. What did you mean by that exactly?
I think it just meant when we started going through songs and wanting to choose music to songs that had already been recorded, you know, you think of country classics and you think of Crazy and you think of, you know, those kind of things. And it's like, there's so much more out there.
Yeah.
Besides
like that one. That was great Bob Wills tune.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Those surface classic country songs, you know, and it's like, let's just dig a little deeper in here and find some of those things that, you know how when you're listening to the radio, for instance, when you listen to WSM, a lot of times they'll play something and all of a sudden you go, oh, I forgot about that song.
That was
a great song. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that was kind of the mentality we had going into this, is let's find those songs that people will go, oh, yeah, I remember that song. And you know, what was cool, the first time I played this record, when we had it all finished, I played it for my parents, of course, first, my husband and my parents. And the coolest thing was when we started it, my dad started singing along. He was like singing along, and I thought that's the exact reaction I was wanting from people, because it's familiar, but it's not necessarily one of those songs that
you've heard
it a bajillion times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was familiar enough that I was like, this is so cool, because it's our version, but you know, it's familiar and people already feel like they've kind of got a piece of it. You know what I mean? They already kind of know this song and they're kind of already invested in it because it's that kind of song.
A great example of that is What's Forever For.
Oh.
I'm listening to this song, and I'm driving around, and when it was over, I said, wait a minute. And I backed it up, and I listened to it again. I go, I know this song.
Right?
That's an old 70s kind of a soft rock song,
kinda,
would you call that?
Yeah.
You know, but
it was
like
a country tune back in the 90s,
was,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Martin Murphy had a country
cut
on
it. That's right. But I remembered the original.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And you took it in a whole different feel. So what influenced the take of that song?
The influence on that came, once again, Terry brought that song to the table and was like, what do you think of What's Forever For? And I was like, you know, I know that song. It's a cool song. You know, whatever. And he goes, well, hold on a second. Let me just play you something real quick. And I was like, okay. And he puts the CD in the CD player, and it's Ray Van Hoy who wrote the song.
Okay.
And it's his version of the song. And we're listening, and I'm midway through, and I start, like, getting all teary-eyed. And I was like, oh, whoa. This is totally different when you hear the songwriter do it. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, it was like, oh, I get it now. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those songs that you hear, and you know it and whatever. But when I really took the time to hear it, the way he presented it, I was like, oh, that's what that was. That's
nice.
How that was meant to be done. And so we really wanted to pay homage to the songwriter on this song, especially because it's one of those that I think the more stripped down this song is, the more you can really get the feel for what, you know, kind of, because when it's been done before, it's always kind of been a bigger production and lots of big stuff happening in it and everything. And this, we kind of really tapered it down and kind of did it as pretty close to Rafe's original demo version of it.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, another one that I really love is your version of Sing a Sad Song.
Mm.
That, and I love the way it just soars, and some of those notes are just awesome. So taking that, you know, how do you go about taking a classic like that and like the last one you just talked about and making it your own? I mean, what kind of decisions go into doing that to a song, and how do you go approaching it?
Yeah, I think that all comes down to, you know, when we work out the arrangements, and it's really fun because the three of us, Steve and Terry and I, will sit down in Terry's office and just figure stuff out. Yeah. And it's so fun to do that and go, what if we did it like this?
So
what
it's
if
a
we
group
tried
effort?
This? What if we did yeah. this? You know, what? And we all kind of throw our ideas out there, and then we end up with this thing, and it's like, oh wow, this is ours. This is yeah. our, you know what I mean? Like I said, as me not being a songwriter, this gives me the opportunity to have that little creative piece in
right.
in everything that,
sure.
that I put my name on.
You
know
you.
What I mean? Yeah, you know yeah. what I mean? And I think the interpretation of it is really important, and that's something that I really, really try to work on is, you know, figuring out, going to these songs and finding a story or a place in me, something I've went through, something someone I know's went through, and kind of tapering the interpretation to that and try to make it, you know, if I've got something specific in mind, I feel like I can express it better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some story that I can go, oh yeah, that, you know, I know somebody that went through that and this is how they would feel if they were singing this. You know what I mean? And so
sure.
I think that's a really important part of taking these songs, like I said, that people have heard before and that know them, but sort of putting our spin on them.
Very cool. Well, you're doing in June Countryest of the Country.
Yes.
During the CMA Fest. Mm-hmm. You're doing that with Billy Yates. Mm-hmm. And now Billy and several of his buddies are in Europe all the time.
Right.
Is that on your radar? Have you been looking at doing some tours
actually,
in that area?
I have been to Sweden with Billy mm-hmm. About a year or so ago. We went and did a couple of shows out there. And Europe is just so cool because they really get traditional country music.
Right.
Like they are so into it.
They're
and
really
they
into
are
it.
Like, yeah. yeah. And so I would love to do more things over there. And hopefully, you know, we've been talking to some folks and hopefully we can get some things set up to go overseas and do that again, because it's just, it's a blast. They truly appreciate the kind of country music that I do. And it's really cool to be able to perform for them.
In general, with the kind of country that you do, mm-hmm. the traditional, what goes into planning tours? Is it a traditional artist? Because you're kind of having to look at different venues
yeah.
and you're going for a different listener.
It's
so
true, yeah.
What goes into that?
Well, I think as an artist and my own personal thing, I have always preferred to play smaller venues. I've mm-hmm. always liked to play somewhere where people are actually coming to listen to music. I don't want to play in a club where
right.
everybody's talking
and
all that stuff. You know, I prefer something where people like, I want to come hear music, and they sit down and they listen to music. So that has made it a little bit easier, because you can find those, you know, performing arts centers and things like that where you can do shows. And I also love doing acoustic shows.
Mm-hmm.
I love when Steve and I just go out and do stuff together. Those are probably the most fun shows that I do. Just, I don't
wow.
know. They're just, it's just
yeah.
a little more intimate. I feel
sure.
like I get to know the audience, they get to know me, and it's just, it's really fun. So that's, it's really been good. And I'm not someone who wants to be on the road, you know, 300 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
I really like my time at home and being in my garden.
Well, the garden would get out of control.
And whatnot,
if you, were
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm in a really good place right now where I feel very balanced in the fact that I get to do this dream job that I've always dreamt of doing and being able to sing country music, but I get to have a real life too. So
right.
Sweet.
It balances out pretty well right now. I'm very thankful.
That's
awesome.
Very
cool.
Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're definitely going to be back with a whole lot more of Tia Goins here on the Music Row Show. So come on back. Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Tia Goins doing The World Needs a Melody off of her brand new project, Memories to Burn. It's really, really good. Where can people go get that if they want it?
They can get that at tiagoins.com. You can also get it on iTunes, and you can get it on Amazon.
It's awesome. That's actually the favorite song of my kids when I was driving around with them.
That is a driving around, with windows down kind of song. That is totally what that song is. Yeah.
Totally great.
I just figured out how to tag people on Instagram.
I noticed.
Wow.
This is
a big day for him.
The Music Row Show.
So
proud. Look at that. Huh?
Look at you. You know, getting all technological and stuff.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but So, Country Family Reunion. Classic
that's coming
country.
Up, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, we've got... Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were going to ask a question, but yes.
No, go ahead.
No. Well, Larry's Country Diner.
That's coming up.
That is coming up, yeah.
And then you're doing the Opry on Thursday.
Yes. Opry Country Classics on Thursday.
Nice. So,
very, very cool. But
big week.
What I was wondering is you're doing the reunions and the classic cruises, and what does it mean to you to have the support and the friendship as someone who... Because here's the thing, and we'll talk about this. You didn't just pick the traditional genre as an afterthought or a shrewd career choice. You love this music. You knew this music as a kid growing up. So what does it mean to you to have that support and friendship from these singers that you listen to?
It's very surreal, to be honest, to think that the people that I grew up listening to and that were my heroes and the people that I listened to on the Opry as a kid, you know my name, for one. And secondly, have been so supportive of what I'm doing and have, you know, just encouraged me. And it's really amazing. I don't know. It's hard to put into words. I don't think it, you know, what the critics say doesn't matter when your heroes say stuff like that to you. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like when your mm-hmm. heroes support what you're doing, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Cause it's like, that's, you know, I grew up wanting to be them and wanting to be like them, you know what I mean? So it's pretty neat, and to be able to do shows with some of them and perform and, you know, be together, and it's like walking into a dream. It really is.
Some of those pinch yourself moments.
Yeah, I have a ton of those, and it's just it's crazy to think back on, you know, the people that I've had the opportunity to meet and to know and to call my friends. And I mean, when I was in third grade, I did a report. You could do a report on anything, and I picked country music and WSM.
Nice.
And I wrote a 10-page paper about it and like all this stuff, and you had to, you know, have pictures and all these things. And I had, I picked artists that I wanted to talk about, you know, specific ones. And one of them was Little Jimmy Dickens. And so I still have the report. Like my mom has it, you know. But when I think about, I knew him well, like he and I were buddies, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just those kind, you can't ask for anything more than that in the world. There's no fame or fortune that's worth that to me, to just say that my heroes know who I am. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's really it's pretty unbelievable sometimes.
That's wonderful.
And any artists out there that you looked up to that you haven't gotten to work with yet and you're hoping to?
Well, you know, I would love to work with Loretta Lynn. I've met her a few times, but it was in WSM format when I was working for the station,
right.
You know, a few years ago, and I met her kind of through that. But I think that would be cool, just because she was a really big influence on my grandmother, and my grandma was a singer, and that's kind of where I got the inspiration to do music. So through the bloodline, Loretta is a hero to me as well, because, you know, my grandma looked up to her so much. So that would be definitely someone I'd love to work with.
Awesome. Well, listen, we need to take another quick break, but we're going to be back with more of Tia Goins.
We're going to get one more song.
And we're going to get another song. Yeehaw. So definitely want to come back for that here on the Music Row Show. Come on back. Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Tia Goins doing Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. Great, great tune. That's an old Harlan Howard tune, I
think. It is, and it's the one we were talking about that had that great dual...
Yeah, if you listen very carefully, you can hear right about... No, just
not quite yet. Not quite yet.
Right after this chorus.
Here, hold on. Crank it up. I want to hear it.
So pick me up on your way down.
Right here. nice. And that's the solo that Terry, you were trying to figure out and couldn't figure it out because there was two guys playing, it turns out.
It's like trying to figure out the Hotel California because they had the two guitars going.
I can't do it all. Yeah. I had that problem one time years ago trying to figure out one of Diamond Rio's solos. I didn't realize that the guy was using the bender thing, you know, the B bender.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, how in the world is he doing that? You know? You know?
Right.
So, same kind of thing.
Well,
oh, man.
Steve has patiently been waiting.
Yeah, let's do another tune.
All right, we're going to do What's Forever For since we talked about it
nice.
A little bit earlier. Yeah. I've been looking at people and how they change with the times. Lately, all I've been seeing are people throwing love away and losing their minds. Maybe it's me that's gone crazy, 'cause I can't understand why all these lovers keep hurting each other when good love is so hard to come by. So what's the glory in living? Doesn't anybody ever stay together anymore? And if love never lasts, what's forever for? I've been listening to people, and they say love is the key, and it's not my way to let them lead me astray. It's only that I want to believe, but I see love-hungry people trying their best to survive when in their hands is a dying romance and they're not even trying. Doesn't anybody ever stay together anymore? And if love never lasts forever, tell me, what's forever for? What's forever for?
Goodness. Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
That is Steve so Smith. Nice. That was an amazing key change, by
right?
the way. That was very acrobatic.
Isn't he magical?
Yes.
We're going to do a 2-hour show with Steve Smith, and he's just going to give us guitar lessons for yeah, 2 hours. Yeah.
And then leave in frustration at the right. end when we don't yeah. get it.
These two are idiots.
Oh, wow. Man. So being an artist,
yes.
you know, I'm guessing requires the a very supportive family, a very understanding spouse,
Absolutely.
I would imagine.
Absolutely.
For those spouses listening who have an artist in their life, you know, what can they do to help the artist from that point of view.
The main thing is to be a spouse.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
To just be
with my
husband. He and I are best friends. Before we're husband and wife, we're best friends.
Okay.
And I think he doesn't get involved in the music aspect of it, doesn't try to know anything that he doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't, he's like, cool, you're doing your thing, you know, whatever. And he's just, he's very supportive. He's very encouraging. He's the person that I can come home to and go, all this happened, you know, or whatever. This is good or this is bad. And he's just, he's a great listener. And I think that that's really important because as artists, you know, we have a million things in our brains going all the time and a million feelings and emotions and all that stuff. And just to be that sounding board to come home to and just to hear you and to give you a hug. And
I think that's
really, really important. It's just the support and to be the person that keeps you on the ground, the person that keeps you the real life of you know,
right.
actually what this life is about. You know what I mean? Just to be that person.
Yeah. Okay, superstar, take out the trash, right?
And, do this. Yeah, you know what I mean? I just think that's really, really important. And Brandon is a fantastic, supportive husband and boyfriend through all the years that he dated me before when I was doing all this, you know, and he's been fantastic. And my family, of course, my parents and my sister, and they've just always been 100% behind me and cheerleading me along all the way. Literally.
The queen of the Herkies?
The queen of the Herkies, my mom, Sandy. and cheerleaded me along all these years. Really. Literally, she has been. It's true.
That is awesome. Yes. That is awesome.
I don't even want to ask this question because we don't have enough time to give it the respect it deserves. So I'll ask one of my dumb questions.
Another one?
Another one. I know. I got plenty of those. I got plenty of those.
Dumb questions are great.
I love that at the end of the CD, there were Christmas songs. What's up with that?
It's a Christmas bonus.
I know.
Everybody wants a Christmas bonus.
Sure.
Right?
Who doesn't?
Okay. So, yeah. Well, we've been toying around with maybe doing a Christmas EP or trying to do that thing. But we had these songs. We had these ideas that we had done. In fact, I had done All I Want for Christmas Is You with Billy Yates when we went to Sweden because we went over Christmas time. And that was one of the songs that I did there. And then we had found They Saw a King. And we were like, you know what? Let's just put them on here and we'll make those sort of the bonus tracks. You know, you get a full CD plus you get a couple of Christmas songs in the end. And they're good songs. You know, you can hear those in July and they're still stand up.
Sure. Well, I like that you put on the album, Do Not Listen Until November.
Right. Yeah,
so,
I did.
That kind of gives people a little guidance. Or actually the way things are going lately, August.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, Christmas starts earlier every year. So it's really year round.
They put the Christmas trees up at Labor Day.
Yeah.
That's right.
That it drives me crazy.
Website again.
Yeah.
The website is TeaGoins.com, TeaGoins.
And if you're in Nashville this week on Thursday, where should someone be?
They should be at the Ryman Auditorium for Opry Country Classics. Mm-hmm. I will be there along with Mel Tillis and Jim Lauderdale and Chris Jansen and Larry Gatlin. And if you can't be in Nashville, you can listen on WSM online.
That's right. On this very station.
This very station.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And also this coming weekend, if you get RFD TV, tune in. I'll be on Larry's Country Diner.
Larry's Country Diner.
Beautiful.
Lots of places to see Tia go.
All over the place.
Yeah, and buy her CD.
Please,
definitely. Go
please.
Do that.
Yes.
You'll thank us. And then if she's in your town, you should go see her.
And
absolutely.
Please find me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram because I love talking to people and like I'm really
and that's really you
oh boy
she actually well, does all of her Facebooking.
Come on,
she does her Facebooking while she's jogging, by the
it's
way
true. It's bad, it's an addiction for me, but I really do everything on there and I love to keep up with people. I respond to everything, so if you send me a message I do that. So
all right, well thanks for listening everybody, we'll see you next week on the Music Row Show.
Guys.